Kousum gupe gone chak celo Ngushami chuchuchi malubu Tomene sadi tutam chesha Kepa ge wanam la jeirang Korwa matom bardule june Drola chuki kolo korwadam Sajenge nanjan chuchen borno Sashipuki Jushime Chu Bardu Dagni Kapsu Chi Dagi Chunyang Gi Pe Sernam Gi Drola Penchir Sange Drupar Sho Chodan Soki Chognam La Jang Chu Bardu Dagni Kapsu Chi Dagi Chunyang Gi Pe Sernam Gi Drola Penchir Sange Drupar Sho Chodan Soki Chognam La Jang Chu Bardu Dagni Kapsu Chi Dagi Chunyang Gi Pe Sernam Gi Drola Penchir Sange Drupar Sho
Good evening. Yeah. Mm. So before before we start the class, maybe little explanation on like guided meditation on truth. Okay, little explanation how to do meditation on truth. Can you hear? Hello? Huh? Maybe I eat too much spicy, that's why you cannot hear. Hello? Hello? Oh, yeah. Probably it's better because I'm kind of clearing my throat. The mic is off, I'm just good. I think for all of us, I think it's good to learn this, you know. How to do that meditation on truth. The base on like the one stanza is quite good, you know. So meditation on emptying the truth summarized on one stanza. You know, usually when you read about truth, there's no like Lamrim book, you know, most part of the end of the Lamrim is all about ultimate truth, you know, it's like a lot of materials right there, you know. Especially inside all of that is all about, you know, ultimate truth. How to do meditation ultimate truth. So this is the summarize this meditation on this one stanza. So I'll just explain before we start class. So that's what I did in the Wednesday night class. Now here, hoping that, you know, eventually, from the Wednesday night class, Friday night class, we are hoping they'll produce more teachers to teach at the Kadamba Center in the future. Oh, not just that, no, this is also like very, very, I say, beneficial. So the stanza, and also, you know, good for this class too, because this class we are trying to learn more important subject in the Vibhasika school, Sarasvantika school, you know, then mind only school, then, you know, Madhyamika school. So far we finished Vibhasika school. So now we have, you know, some knowledge about in the very beginning, how people think about self, you know, in the very beginning, how they think about self. So then, you know, now we know, five aggregate is self, right? Does that ring any bells? Bell. You know, so they say five aggregate, you know, that's what they think is self, you know, then collection of five aggregate, the same, you know, one group say five aggregate. So then one group say, oh, not five aggregate, collection of five aggregate, you know. So then you see the understanding of like self is very limited. So now, only way you can prove them is they are wrong, their idea is wrong. Not simply just saying, oh, I'm better than you. You know, it's not like that. No, so you have to prove them. No, so you can't just say, oh, I'm American because that's what I said. No, you have to accept. It's not like that. No, so you have to prove through debate based on the materials. So now here, problem, you know, like, if the five aggregate, you know, is the self, then there's, you know, there'll be like, but there's many, that's why all the debates about you try to prove them, you know, their ideas wrong. Or then you quote, you know, if you remember different material, then you quote them, you know, that why your ideas wrong. So one obvious, you know, argument is like, there will be five aggregate. If you are saying the aggregate self, then there will be five self, you know. That's the obvious one. Then there's many other, you know, so you can read, if you read the material, then you will not. Certainly, you know, this is very obvious one. Or collections, you know, then if you lose one aggregate, so that then you say self's finished, but that's not the case. So then there, you know, like, so then you become a little bit precise or a little bit sophisticated. They say, oh, no, none of that, you know, not the five aggregate or collection of five aggregate, that's not how you define self. So now they get a little bit sophisticated. They say, okay, continuation of five aggregate, that more sounds like self, but still limited. Then another group says, okay, it's not the continuation of five aggregate, it's like the consciousness. That's the self. You know, so then, you know, that's like the Sauvastantika point of view, how they define self. So then, you know, the way they, like, define truth, you know, if you lose the sense of prayer will, so when you lose the sense of prayer will, if somebody destroyed pieces, all of that, so then you lose concept of prayer will, so then they say, oh, that's proof, that's conventional truth. It's very limited. Vibhasaka school, that's how they define conventional truth. It doesn't matter when you take pieces, still you have, you know, this concept of the object, so that's, you know, ultimate truth. So that's, you know, how they define truth. Then the Sauvastantika, you know, then a little bit better. Then mind only get a little bit complicated. Then Madhyaminga, you know, then within the Madhyaminga, there's two different, you know, like theory about, like, about truth. Then one is the final one, is the Pasankika. You know? Before there's Madhyaminga Sauvastantika, you know, so they still believe, even though they deny all of that, they still believe, you know, things does exist from its own side. So they have big problem with the accepting this concept of merely imputed by mind, merely imputed by mind. So then, so there's a lot of debate between, like, what do you mean merely imputed, what that cuts. Or exclude mere. So that's what debate, no, Pasangika. So they cut like things are not independent. So they are, you know, even the Madhyaminga, within the Madhyaminga systems, there's no little different. So the last one is Pasangika. So here, this is just a review. So, so now the meditation on emptiness. So I think, even just, you know, if you are wondering about emptiness, in the text it says, you know, it's like throwing a glass on the floor. When you throw the glass on the floor, it's kind of pieces, it's kind of shattered. Just wondering about emptiness, you know, so that's how this negative karma is going to be purified like that, believe it or not. And who said Arya Deva? You know, who's Arya Deva? One of the main instruments. Student of, you know, Nagarjuna, where he said text called 400 stanzas of Madhyamaka Avatara text, 400 stanzas of Madhyamaka Avatara text. If you read, you will find there. So then, if somebody already have, you know, very strong karma, with the emptiness, you know, so they, when they hear about emptiness, so they have goosebumps, they have tears, you know, so they have a lot of joys, you know. So that clearly shows that you have, you know, very strong karmic connection with emptiness. So that means that you already thought about emptiness a long time ago. So many you hear teaching about emptiness, you know, then you have goosebumps, you have become very emotional and a lot of joys, you know, so that clearly shows that you have, you know, strong, like, karmic connection with emptiness. What that means? That means you all did learn emptiness at some point in your life. You all learn. So if somebody who doesn't have any, like, something like that, you know, so then, you know, they may, how you say, develop some kind of fears, you know. So anyway, so that's just, it's not a part of it. Emptiness. So now, so the stanza begin with the star, karma rabri, visual aberrations, kamarir barme, flame of butter, na flame of lamb, kamarir barme. Also, so then slowly, slowly I will explain. So first I will explain these three things. Because this emptiness, the meditation on emptiness has been explained based on four characteristics. So probably I'm going to repeat this again and again, probably not till maybe a couple of months, like Wednesday night class, Friday night class. So hoping that, you know, there's a one way, that's how we learn at the monastery, you know, so not necessarily reading. So you heard this many times. So that's one way to, you know, that goes into memory. So there's no four characteristics. The first one, so it's called like the characteristic of nature. Characteristic of nature. So that one, this the emptiness, meditation on emptiness, no, explaining based on this four characteristic. Then also based on the one stanza. So then first, among those four characteristics, first one is called characteristic of nature. So that's explained based on these three examples. Star, visual aberrations, flame of lamb. So now karma, that's how you say in Tibetan, sorry, start, karma. Karma, that's how you say in Tibetan, start. So this, I'm using Tibetan word. I'm going back and forth between Tibetan, my broken Tibetan, my broken English. Oh, the star symbolize both. You know, symbolize both appearances and emptiness. Empty. You can say empty. That's also correct. No, empty or emptiness. Appearances, conventional truth, emptiness, ultimate truth, nawa nang tong. So then the star symbolize both of them. During the daytime, you know, even though star is there in the sky, but you don't see star, what you see is sky. So there's, you know, ultimate truth. The sky, the clear sky symbolizes ultimate truth. Star, you know, symbolizes conventional truth. So during the daytime, what you see emptiness. No, you don't see the conventional truth. And not the person, okay, don't please misunderstand, not the persons. What they call meditative ego poise. Nyamsha ishi. Meditative ego poise. Of course, who's possessing? That's the person is possessed. That mind. We are not seeing. The person is not seeing. Person is not seeing. Person is not smelling. No, we are not saying that. What we are saying is that meditative ego poise. Meditative ego poise means mind that is deep into the emptiness. Okay, deep into the emptiness. You know, thinking deep into the emptiness. That mind does not see. Whatever that mind sees, that's ultimate truth. That mind does not see conventional truth. What that mind is seeing, that mind only seeing the clear sky, not the star. Okay, not the star. So that's important, not the person, that mind, okay? Meditative ego poise, that's not the person. That's the mind, particular mind, that, you know, mind thinking deep, that mind deep into the emptiness, Anything that's ultimate truth, that mind has to see. If that mind didn't see, then that's not ultimate truth. It's ultimate truth that mind has to see. So, So then, you know, like when the day ends, you know, when it becomes dark, so then you know, all the stars are going to be visible. So that's like conventional truth. Conventional truth. Probably darkness, you know, symbolizes, you know, fundamental confusions. Fundamental confusions, which is the root of all the sufferings. What is the convention? What is fundamental confusion? Why this is called fundamental? Because when you look at the 12 link, first one is that, first one. The way they painted, they're like the person's, the arrow in the person's eye, that means blind, you can see. So that symbolizes fundamental confusions. What is that? What is fundamental confusions? Fundamental confusion is not knowing how self exists. You are totally confused. You can't distinguish between exaggerated self and the self that do exist, like conventional self. It's very much mixed. How we can tell, as I mentioned before, if somebody calling you very gently, very sweetly, you say, oh, no, Jill, somebody's calling me, you know, so you feel like very gently, very lovingly. At that time, that sense of yourself is not that strong, you know, it's like probably that you are the self that you're experiencing is like the self that exists. Self that exists, no? It's not superimposed. If somebody is screaming at you, yelling at you, calling you all kind of names, then how you feel? You feel the self. But that self is like you feel that totally independent, absolute, you know, something like that, you know, so not depend on anything, the very like, so that is, that self is superimposed, you know, exaggerated. That self does not exist. Whatever you build on that, you know, that you are just building on everything, that's building on confusions, see? So then, you know, that's how you analyze, when somebody calling you very gently, very sweetly, you know, hi honey, how you feel, like if somebody screaming at you, yelling at you, how you, you know, both times you feel self, the second one you feel self very strongly. So that moment, if you analyze, so don't think, I mentioned this many times, this is very important, don't think that I'm doing this, you know, we are all same, you know, so that's what has been suggested, that's how the meditation has been done. So this I'm just explaining here. Doesn't mean, you know, I'm just doing this all the time. That's wrong. That's a mistake. So if you see, okay, he's trying, so then that's correct. So I'm trying, you are trying, everybody's trying. So that's what everything. So then so to need to analyze, you know. The darkness that probably symbolizes, you know, the fundamental confusion. Now you know what is fundamental confusion. That's the root of all the sufferings, all the problems, all the complication. It's not the table. It's not the color in the house. It's not your car, you know. It's not your hair. It is, according to Buddhism, there's fundamental confusions. That's all the source of all the complications. So then in the dark, you know, so then you see the star is very visible, there's the conventional truth. The mind that corresponds to the conventional truth, that mind does not see ultimate truth. So that's why star, now when you say star, something to think about, you know, it's not just star, you know, so then star means, you know, so now you are thinking about appearances, conventional truth, empty and ultimate truth, you are thinking about that, you know. So now the visual aberrations, that symbolize emptiness, okay? Not appearances, emptiness. Star symbolize both of them, emptiness and appearance and emptiness, or you can say conventional truth, ultimate truth, both of them. So now visual aberrations, when is visual aberrations? So, so some kind of, you know, like a problem in the visions, you know, caused by jaundice, or could be, I'm not sure, like, there's some kind of problem in the vision. So even though, you know, so if I start to see my hair's falling down, so that's clearly I'm hallucinating because I have no hair to fall down. So, then particularly, you know, the people who's bald, you know, they start to see their hair's falling down, so there's hallucination. So that's caused by visual aberrations called rabri. So you are seeing that very vividly. You are seeing that very vividly, but it's true to you. What you are seeing is true to you doesn't mean it's true. Otherwise, person who does not have any problem in their vision, they could see that too, but they don't see them. They don't see them. It's only, that's called conventional truth. The word truth is there. It's truth to your, how you say, mind. But it's actually not truth. It's not truth. It's not truth. It is like dream. It's like illusion. It's not truth. No. It's true to your mind. That's why it's called conventional truth. It's truth because you see it's truth. That's why. That's all. Actually, it's not truth. This you know. So that, you know, like symbolize. You know, actually, this the hair that's falling down is empty. Generally speaking, it's not there, but for you, it's there. It's there very vividly. It's there, but you see that. You are seeing that very vividly. Because of some problem in the vision, you know, some problem in the vision. Similarly, everything that we see is an inherent absolute. Not because, you know, you are incapable, that you are bad, or you are not smart enough, not like that. Because simply it's because of there's like some kind of problem, some kind of problem in the mind, some kind of problem. You know? Does not mean that we have to go to mental hospital. Not like that. So then everybody will end up in mental hospital, except other beings. Clear, there's some, you know, problem. So now visual aberrations. Then what you're thinking? You are thinking, you know, emptiness part. You know, emptiness part. Then use example that you use to improve your knowledge of emptiness. Something that you see because there's clear there's some problem, but not knowing, the first place, not knowing there's some kind of problems and believing what you see, then that leads to more problems. So if you see, oh, there's some kind of problem, you know, so then that's not, you know, real truth. So then, the conclusion is like merely imputed by mind. Then you may say, oh, wait a minute, it's not really merely imputed by mind. It exists, no, I can touch. It's very vivid. Things do exist, no. Merely imputed by mind does not mean they don't exist. They do exist. How they exist, not because how you see, no. Things do exist because how I see it, how I interact with them, no. That's not how they exist. They exist because based on causes and conditions, that's how they exist. No? Not because how you see, you know. Based on causes and conditions, that's how things exist, not how you see. If you think thing exists because how I interact with them, so then, you know, that's not how things exist. Otherwise everybody has to see the same thing. So that's why not everybody seeing the same thing. Not having same interest, same opinion, same idea. So you can say, okay, now when you like star visual aberration, then it's more sounds like these are merely imputed. Does not mean they don't exist. They do exist. Now, if your conclusion is, oh, now they don't exist, so that means, you know, now you are falling into nihilism. So there's, you know, risk the quantum science, you know, so they've analyzed, and they say, okay, nothing exists. That's not true. So Nagarjuna theory began from there. No, you are wrong. Something exists, no, that's not wrong. There's one extreme view. It's like one, like, okay, thing doesn't exist. That's one of the extreme view. Let's go middle way. You don't fall into neither of extreme view. There's two extreme view. One is like superimposed, you know, exaggerated. Then you are falling into another extreme view. And one is like you are saying, okay, nothing exists. That's another extreme view. That's called middle way, you know. Middle way approach, you know. So not here, just in the middle, no. That's called middle way, means emptiness. Oh. So the example they use, like flame of lamb. Flame of lamb, you know, exists because based on the object that you fill the butter in, then the wick, then the lighter, because of that you see that's how the flame of lamb exists. Based on the butter, the wick, you know, then you know, something needs to light. That's how it exists. Not because, you know, how you think, you know. So then everything, that's how things exist, no? So merely impure does not mean, you know, emptiness does not mean nothingness. It means something very profound that we don't know. Something very profound we don't know. So then now, this is very easy, you know, one stanza. Karma Rabri Maneta. So now you remember, like, traditionally, when you teach, the minute you get on the throne, you know, then sometimes you see, I'm not sure how often, if you are seeing the His Holiness snapping his finger, what is doing that? He's saying this stanza in his mind, the end of this stanza, that's why snap finger, you know. Karma Rabri Maneta, you must remember. Everything is like, including yourself, everything else is like that. You know? That's why you're supposed to remember when you snap your finger, you're supposed to remember that meaning of the stanza. That's what they are saying before they sit down. So they come and remember, so that means everything. You know? You can't hold on, everything, you know, like, come and remember, it's like stars, like visual aberration, it's like, you know, the flame of lamb, Juma is like illusions, Juma is like, you know, Juma Sibu, Juma, Kamara, Marmeda, Juma Sibu, Chibuda, it's like, drop of dew, and then something. In English. I'll explain. So this, just the nature of characteristic, explain the base on these three examples, star, visual aberrations, then flame of lamb. So now, when you say the stanza, star, visual aberrations, flame of lamb, there's something to think about, you know, something to think about. So then it's so powerful. Why is so powerful? Because it tackles, you know, it challenges the root of the complications. You know? That's why it's so powerful. That's so powerful. You know? That's why it purifies, like karma, like, you know, throwing the glass on the floor. It's not like challenging branch, you know, because not knowing the root is poison, not knowing that, you know, that's, oh, this is really poison because this branch, you know, so this flower, then cutting here, cutting there, not knowing the whole root is poison, you know. So this meditation on emptiness is like way to challenge the root cause of all the suffering. That's why it's so powerful. That's why karma has been, you know, scattered like throwing the glass on the ground. So this, you know, thing is going to challenge the root of all the complications. You know? So therefore, you know, that's why I'm saying it's, you know, it's beneficial. So maybe time to time, so we should think about that, you know. Then even just thinking about, can you imagine if somebody's wondering about that, if that, you know, karma pieces like that, if somebody intentionally thinking about that, can you imagine? So, so just want to share that with you, okay. The good things that you can learn those things. You know, it's not like that you cannot learn. It's like good things that you can learn. So then, you know, meditation means something that we think about again and again, not just one time, then forget, you know, like a couple of months, then it's not like the meditation means making my mind familiar with something, you know, so that's become meditation. So then, this is not the last.
One more Friday.
Then Chukila, where we stop?
So we were within the Swatantika, under the mode of asserting object possessors, and we were looking at valid cognizers. Page 6 in the Kathleen MacDonald translation.
As I said, you know, before, that when we're studying this material, then each system's most important thing that we should remember is like how they define self and how they define truth. These are more important things rather than remembering. Yeah, if you can remember all the material, that's wonderful. But if not, then at least try to remember. This is very, very important, you know, how they define self. How the idea of self, then you can see how the idea of self is improving. And how the idea of, you know, truth is improving. That's what it's for. No, it's not for to make you more confused. No, this is for improve how you define self, improve how you define truth. No, so in order to understand merely imputed, that that's not, you know, it's not that easy to understand. So then all of that is supposed to help you to understand that, to get there. No? So, they call like object possessor. So then, everything that we, the way we study the monastery, so every mind you study, each mind has definitions, and that's how you know whether that's like valid or not valid, based on definitions. So, based on definition, I explained the definition of the valid cognitions.
Yes.
But there's like two, there's three points that there's another type of mind, cheshe. So you. Each time when you know, first time you are knowing something or some new object, first time. How do you say?
New.
So that means new means first time knowing something, first time. So then after that, you know, knowing that object is not first time, it's knowing that second time. So that mind is not valid cognitions, because not the valid cognitions means, how is it? Second moment of any valid cognition, second moment is become. That mind, what you call?
The non-valid cognizer?
No.
Subsequent.
Subsequent cognizer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's called cheshe, subsequent. Every, the second moment, probably second moment. So, but there's also debate, okay, so we don't need to get into that. So let's just say, second moment of that, you know, consciousness is called subsequent cognizer, called cheshe. Knowing object is already known before. You already known this. It's not knowing the first time. Why the subsequent cognizer is not valid cognition? Because it's not knowing the object first time. That's why. Okay? So then we're going to that mind is, could be infallible. So then knower, yeah, clearly that mind is knower, right? Subsequent cognizer is knower, is infallible, because what he sees is seeing peril again. So there's the last two has the part of the definition of valid cognizer. So, but it's not valid cognizer because it has to have three all of them, what is lacking is like fast knowing. That's what is lacking. See? Does it make little sense? Yeah? Yeah. Does it make sense? Otherwise, it's going to be brown bear caging mice. Then thing in mind, oh, there's one mice, then just stand up again, mice. You know? Then the other mice just went away. There's two, and then there's three. At the end, there's only one, because everything's just. That's how they say in monastery, you know, should not study like that. So now then the infallible, the part of the definition, you know, it says like new, infallible, then infallible, that cuts up, how to say cut up?
It eliminates correct assumption.
Okay, not cut up. It is, that's, you know, I'm literally translating the word, Tibetan word, che means, you know, cut up. So eliminates. So infallible eliminates, that's called assuming consciousness. Assuming consciousness, huh? We have a lot of them, you know. Oh, I'm not good, I'm not smart enough, you know. This is all like incorrectly assuming consciousness. It's not valid cognizer. Correctly assuming, that's incorrectly assuming consciousness, that's correctly assuming consciousness, then correctly assuming consciousness based on reason, but you are not able to establish the reason. So there's within there, there's many different types. You just somebody much. So. Then reverse almost to somebody much. Then the last part, the knower.
Yeah, cognizer.
Cognizer. So better to stick with one word, you know, doesn't have to be Lord or Divine, doesn't help. Lord Rigpa, Rigpa. Omboso Jemba means like, how they say that, also there's many translations, faculty. Then what they say, other translations, sense.
Sense power.
And, sense power, faculty, what is, it's like the lens, you know, lens. Object reflects to the lens, but actually not the lens is the one who is seeing the object in this school. No, this is a little bit different than other schools. Now here, you know, the consciousness is the one that is seeing the object. Object reflects to the lens. It's more almost like lens. Eye consciousness, there's lens. Ear consciousness, there's lens. Nose consciousness, there's lens. First it reflects to the lens. Then, you know, like send the information to the consciousness, then how the consciousness feels. So in this school, that the lens does not, how is it, correspond, not, does not, how is it,
eliminates?
Not, does not see the object. Okay? So it's because if something, they see object beside person, that has to be consciousness, mind. So that lens is not a mind, right? See? Yeah, faculty or sense power is not a mind. It's like form. Form? Form does not mean something tight, you know, say gross, subtle, very subtle. No, form, gross, subtle, very subtle, you know. So this subtle part of being, their form, they have, you know, like if that part is going to take as a human rebirth, that part looks like human. So whatever the next rebirth the part is going to take, even though it's like human part though, doesn't have to be human, you know, it could look anything. It could, the part though looks very much depend on what kind of rebirth the part is going to take, then based on that, that's how the part is going to look like, you know. Doesn't human part doesn't have to be looks like human. So then it has body, but that form, but it's very subtle, it's not like this, you can touch, you know. You see, but you cannot touch. Almost like the nowadays the, in the modern world, what they call sinogram, what do you call something that people they create like a light form,
hologram.
Hologram, Yeah, so now you see there, you know, you see or Tony or the Lusa Tony, but you can't touch them. Now this is exactly the part of the body looks like, you know, this looks like that, you know, but you can't touch. So because of that, they possess some kind of miracle power, they can go through wall, they can only things they get stuck is like mother's womb due to the karma. Besides that, they can, you know, it's like ombokunza tomede, having all the organ, tomede, you know, then just go like one check, you know, like from here to India, second, you know, it's already there, like that. This is called form, but it's very subtle, you know, gross, subtle, very subtle. Same, mind, gross, subtle, very subtle, same. Then, you know, there's the, so now the divisions, there's like direct valid cognizer. So then another one is called inferential. What is called second one?
Valid inferential cognizer.
Valid inferential cognizer. So, jabatsama, even like in Tibetan word, you know, it's not that easy. Jabatsama. Long time ago, the one American professor came from California to our monastery. He has key interest in Madhyama emptiness, emptiness, and he was there. No, not a monk, but he was there long time, and he came to every class. And he's listening. His Tibetan is pretty good. So somehow that he said, "No, you can't talk about this as inferential."
Valid inferential cognizer.
Yeah. Valid inferential cognizer in America, so you are going to go to jail. So I'm not sure what he's saying. So Jabatsama, maybe everything's like valid, has a valid
direct perceiver.
I can't communicate with him, so his Tibetan is not that great. My English is even worse than his Tibetan. No, that's why he said, because one of my teachers told me, because he's coming to receive teaching from him, then that's why he told me. So, anyway, I don't know. Direct, valid cognizer, such as, that means, you know, eye consciousness. When you see the prayer wheel, that's direct, valid cognizer. Just example. So, Jesu Baba Samaja, then inferential, valid cognizer.
Yeah, valid inferential cognizer.
Valid inferential cognizer, Jesu Baba Samaja. So first we will Jesu Pabit Sema. Then this word, the Tibetan word, you know, it is carrying some meaning. Jesu means letter, Jesu Pabit, knowing object, letter, following something. It's not like knowing object right there, no. The mind will know the object, letter, following something. For example, I said, so there's fire on the mountain. There's fire on the mountain, but you are not seeing that fire directly like this. No, you are going to know there's fire. You are going to know later. You are going to, Jesu Pabit Sema, Jesu means later. You are going to know the fire on the mountains later, because this person is going to say, there's fire. Just like you are here, there's some other person here, and you are wondering, you know, you see smoke. You wonder, is there fire or not fire? And some second person says, oh, there is fire because there's smoke. So then you're following that reason, smoke. So through that, then you will know there's fire. So that's called valid, how is it?
Inferential cognizer.
Valid inferential cognizer, but no, this is like more, I'm not sure, does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
No, this word makes sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so give me example, not just what I just said, just said that slide, give me example, in America. Just give me example, so then I will know whether you understand or not understand.
I'll give you an example, Geshe-la. So, when I walk in, and I'm covered in cat hair, and my clothes are covered in cat hair.
Oh, cat hair. Oh.
Yeah. Then you can infer that I've been spending time with a cat.
Mm.
You didn't see the cat, but you've made an inference because I have cat hair on my clothes.
Mm.
I have just been with a cat.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what word inference means?
Yes.
Later. Yeah, secondhand or later. Figuring out something later, not right away. Later. Right. Oh, that's good then. Jabasama. So now see, this is like, there's three types of objects. Tuangunju means something is very visible. You don't need any reason, you know. You just see them, you know. You just hear them. You don't need any reason. Chungse kunju, that's like subtle phenomena, such as fire on the mountains, fire in the beach, night that you are confused, you don't know, it's a stream or it's like smoke. No, you don't know. No, so then someone says, oh, there's no fire, because this is not smoke, because there's no fire. So then you know this is not fire. There's water there because there's a group of geese flying around long time. That's why there's water. So if you didn't know, probably right there, there's water like that. Then, so that's why I'm saying this three circle, you know. First circle, second circle, the third circle. Then there's another part, there's small circle, then here there's small circle. And the first one, there's a mountain. Second circle, there's fire. Third circle, there's smoke. Then this small one, that's called kitchen. So there's a seat in the kitchen, there's fire, there's smoke, there's fire. But there's fire because there's smoke in the kitchen. Then that's very obvious because you're here now, in America, there's no smoke. So everything's not there. So you have to go to Nepal or India. It's a kitchen. So there's fire because there's smoke. So you say, oh, I understand that. Similar, that prevention between, if there's smoke, there'll be fire. Prevention, you understood in the kitchen, but you are having hard time on the mountain, distant mountain. So then slowly you use that as, then you understood, oh, there's fire, maybe there's smoke. Example in the kitchen, you know. So then you use that. So the behind the circle, small circle, that's like negative one, you know. For example, water, there's no fire, no smoke. So that's how it's been taught, you know, this called syllogism. So it can be like sound. Second circle, impermanent. Third one, disintegrate moment by moment. So you kind of understand, if something disintegrate moment by moment, it has to be impermanent. Prevention between second circle and third circle, there's no problem. You quite understand that. On where? On prayer wheel, or say on flower. You understand that very clearly. There's a small circle. But you are not sure that prevention, when it's come down to sound, you are not sure whether it's like impermanent or permanent. So then somebody proves it. Sound disintegrate moment by moment proves. So then you know, okay, this sound is impermanent. Like that, okay. This is called subtle phenomena. Or you can say hidden phenomena. So then there's very hidden phenomena. Then even this, you know, a valid inferential cognizer even doesn't help. No, very hidden phenomena, such as being generous, you are going to be wealthy, like that. So then, you know, in that case, totally rely on spiritual authority, scriptures. You rely on scriptures, you know. Or practicing patience, the next life will be very, you know, beautiful appearances. Doing things joyfully, the result is going to be calm mind, peaceful mind, or jitu means like tame mind. So that heavily rely on scriptures. So to do that, so need to understand the person who taught the scriptures. So, valid person, valid speech, valid mind. That's how the Paramana, Vatika, Karika, their texts, they all talk about Buddhist epistemology. In that text, the studying that text will help. Oh, the Shakyamuni Buddha is valid. Speech is valid. His mind is valid. So because of that, I can rely on what he said. Tumbatsama, Chibutsama, Ngatsama. There's a Samachurpa, all of it. Samachurpa. So, Dignaga is the one who wrote the root text of Buddhist epistemology. If you read their text, and the homage, the very beginning of their text, homage, and you see Samachurpa, Rola Penchapa, the first word, then you see what he's talking about. He's not trying to prove that. So, scripture that's reliable is proof that the scripture is reliable, proof by three analyses. Any mistake that scripture is talking about this obvious object, no mistake. Any mistake that scripture is talking about hidden phenomena such as impermanent, emptiness, things like that, no mistake. Any mistake that scripture is talking about very hidden phenomena such as, practicing patience, becoming, physically beautiful, being generous, become wealthy, all of that. Any mistake? No mistake. So that's how the scripture has been proved that something is reliable, proved by these three analyses. So you can probably find, if somebody remember that, Jesumji Tabalung, Jebasum means three analyses. It's proved, it's pure proved by these three analyses. Means any mistake this text is a mistake because this text says a prayer is made out of, like metal. And this is the mistake because there's prayer with the metal wood. It's clear that's a mistake. They're talking about impermanent, hidden phenomena. Oh, that text says the sky is impermanent, disintegrating moment by moment. Oh, that text is not right. It's wrong. Oh, this text says, if you're acting like pig, then you're going to be pig next life. That's wrong. So that's how you prove, analyze the three analyses based on obvious object, talking about obvious object, hidden object, very hidden object. Then you say, Jimbelong, Timji, now there's three circles. Being generous, because it's the scriptures, the pure scriptures, say something like that. That's all I can say with my broken English, sorry. So this is no valid information cognizer. That type of mind deal with hidden phenomena. This fire is hidden phenomena. It's called hidden phenomena, okay? Obvious phenomena, you don't need this. Valid information cognizer is not necessary, because it's right here. So I'm going very slow because make sure that we understand. Otherwise, make sure it's not going to be like brown bear catching mice. But now the definition. This is quite difficult for me to say in English. So we are going to heavily rely on scripture here. What is it in English?
The definition of a direct perceiver.
So please make sure that when you say if this makes sense or not sense, please let me know.
Is a cognizer that is non-mistaken and free of conceptually. That doesn't make sense in English, but I think it's supposed to be conceptuality, but that's not what it says.
Make sense? Okay, that's good. Then that's good news. So now, for example, eye consciousness corresponding with the prayer will, that's direct valid perceiver. Is this what it says now here? Is this, can you please repeat the definition?
The definition of a direct perceiver is a cognizer.
Okay, now see, eye consciousness that's corresponding with the prayer will, of course, this cognizer, right? Is this cognizer, right? Then?
That is non-mistaken.
Non-mistaken?
Yep.
Right? Are we right?
Yes.
Non-mistaken. Then?
And free of conceptuality.
Free of conceptuality. What is that?
No concept. Like there's no concept.
It's just a prayer word. Or can't even be a prayer word then.
Geshe-la, it means direct perceiver.
Yeah. No. Eye consciousness first. Is pretty much direct perceiver. Eye consciousness usually is direct perceiver. So now see, eye consciousness that's interacting with the prayer will. So that's, we should take that example. Is cognizer, is like then?
Non-mistaken.
Non-mistaken. Non-mistaken.
And
but that change, when you go to the pasankika system, that change. Pasankika system, non-mistaken, is the only mind they see emptiness. That's the only unmistaken, non-mistaken mind. Besides that, everything is mistaken mind. So this is different here. So this is like unmistaken, then?
Free of conceptual.
Yeah, free of conceptual. That part is a little bit difficult. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So then the person who seeing the prayer will is free of conceptual?
Geshe la, if you say, oh, that's a prayer wheel.
Huh?
If I think, as I understand it, if your thought is...
Not a thought. I
know.
I see that prayer wheel.
But if you have that thought, that's a prayer wheel, then you're not a direct perceiver.
Right. So now my question is, eye consciousness that sees the prayer wheel, the direct perceiver, is this free of conceptuality?
Yes.
How? Free of conceptual, how?
If it only sees shape, color, and it doesn't impute a label to it. So as soon as there's the label, prayer wheel, as soon as there's the label, prayer wheel, then it is no longer a direct perception. It is no longer non-conceptual.
So now the question is, this eye consciousness, this is probably, is this as material? So say, what is conceptual? What is conceptual? What is conceptual? Thoughts? I think like you understood now, I think probably I'm not going to push you. So I think like all the experience is pretty good. So I think free up, should not think of person. Persons are not free of conceptual thought. No, consciousness, eye consciousness, no. So bottom line is like seeing the object directly. That's why it's free. Seeing object directly, no. That's why, no, seeing object directly. So then like say, okay, when you go home, then you say, okay, there's prayer wheel on Geshe-la chair, not chair, sorry, table. That is that direct conceptual thought? So any memory, all the memory, all the memory, huh?
So what if you speak it? That's all I'm
going to say. Yeah. Okay.
I was just saying something very quickly. What if it's direct perception, if you see it and you know what it is, but what if you speak it? You just canceled that out, didn't you? It's no more direct perception if you have to put it into words, because you have to mentally translate it and then say it to somebody. I'm finished.
So if somebody is talking to, if you are saying something about what you're seeing, right?
As long as you're seeing it, the rest of you can say nothing about it.
so that's interesting. So I'm not sure. So that's good point to debate. So good point of debate. No, so like okay, good point of debate. Today. So now the divisions, then probably divisions.
Geshe, we didn't talk about the definition of the valid direct perceiver. We just did the definition of the direct perceiver.
Huh?
This gives a definition of a direct perceiver, and then it gives the definition of a valid direct perceiver.
Yeah, okay. So the definition of valid direct perceiver, so you just add new. So now also give me something that's direct perceiver. Something that's direct perceiver, but not like direct valid perceiver. So give me an example. Please open up your wisdom bank. Something that's direct valid, as a direct perceiver, is not valid direct perceiver. Give me an example. Or you can keep that as a dessert for the debate.
So would that be the eye consciousness after it's seen a prayer wheel for the first time and it is seeing it again? So a direct perceiver would be the eye consciousness that is seeing the prayer wheel for the second time. So it's no longer seeing it newly.
I don't know. Then anything else? Because our view of new, you know, is not lack of deeper understanding, impermanent, that change. Our view of new is not new. It's eye consciousness has to be direct. No matter what kind of circumstance, eye consciousness has to be direct. Whenever it interacts with the object, it interacts with the, each time when it interacts, it's interacting with the first time, directly, first time.
So the first time I saw chocolate would be valid, direct.
Perceiver.
The second time I saw chocolate, it would be a valid. I'd be a direct perception, but it wouldn't be valid.
No, that's.
No.
Yeah. So then something. It's okay. That's the point of debate.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't the goal to kind of come back to a direct perceiver and that to be totally mindful and present and see things and not project labels on them and not sort of discriminate? So in other words, just seeing objects, like she said chocolate. A lot of times, we see chocolate. We want to have chocolate. We eat too much of it. We get sick. We want more. But if we just let it kind of, we just see it and don't put any labels on it, don't discriminate on it as good or bad, and just kind of be actually mindful and present in the moment. So isn't that kind of what we're trying to train our minds to do, sort of go back to the basics of the direct perceiver? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's whatever you are saying is correct, but according to my question, it's not the answer. Sorry to say. Anyway, so now debate, please debate. You know, debate. something that's direct perceiver, but it's not direct valid perceiver. No, so that's to find that out. No? So then the valid direct perceiver definition, that's you add new there. Oh, that's the difference. Then, so now the division of direct valid perceiver, not direct perceiver, so should not make mistake. So not the division is not about the direct perceiver. Direct perceiver can be valid or can be invalid. Mm-hmm. So if you think that way, it's easy to find. If you think in that way, it's easy to find. Direct perceiver doesn't have to be valid. There's one that's invalid, one that's valid. So now this division is like the direct perceive, valid direct perceiver has, then first one is called?
The first one is self-cognizing, valid direct
perceiver. So that's also, good to maybe, to read about this particular mind a little bit, because this is also key point of debate between those schools, Particularly, the idea of things do exist from its own side. There's some schools very much driven by this particular, accepting this particular mind called self-cognizing. So now. Whenever we study the definition of Vipassana school, definition of Sāsanika school, so we have to pay attention, So do they accept like self-cognizer or not, So that's the key point of debate, So that's big problems. So why somebody accepting that particular mind leads to something, Not accepting that, then there's so many questions they need to answer. So that's why I'm saying this mind is quite important subject here, okay? Second one is
sensory.
Yeah, that's easy, So then,
mental. The third one is mental, valid direct perceiver.
Yeah, so that one, that only lasts one moment, even not second, one moment, so then this is also something to think about, like only last moment. So then there's a lot of debate, do I have this mind or not? So there's a lot of debate over there. So there's mental direct perceiver,
The last one is the yogic. Valic direct perceiver.
Yeah, so the yogic, the word is literally translated, called Nanjungusungisema. So that means you are thinking about, I'll just give you an example, this, you are thinking about impermanent. You are thinking about impermanent, then slowly your understanding of impermanent get deeper and more sophisticated. So then, the beginning, there's like conceptual thought in the beginning. So this get better and better, then eventually it becomes direct, valid perceiver, So that's called yogic, that's the one, whether it's based on emptiness or impermanent, or truth, four noble truth, all of that, That's then when it becomes direct perceiver, then it's, Arya being have that
yogic valid direct perceiver.
Yogic direct valid perceiver, something like that. So sorry, I'm not really enthusiastic about English word because I already learned Tibetan, so not much enthusiasm there. So nothing was much. About selflessness. First is conceptual thought, then it's become better. Then eventually you see selflessness directly. So that's called Najam Goswami Samaja. So,
yogic
valid. Direct perceiver.
Yogic
valid direct perceiver, yeah. Yeah. Yogic valid direct perceiver. So now the definition of this, no, that's why I say before, now you hear. So definition of this first,
the self-cognizing.
Self-cognizers. Please don't get discouraged, no. So in monastery, as I said, no, we have many class, not just no once a week, every single day we have class. And not just that, then go to the debate courtyard every single day, morning, couple of hours, in the evening, like from 6 to till midnight, still confused, you know. It's like, then it's like a lot of debate, a lot of class, or debate, you know, saying back and forth. Then eventually, you know, it will make sense. Don't say, oh, it doesn't make sense, you know, please be patient. Don't give up. Because this is knowable. Is knowable object? If something is knowable object, you will know. It's only a matter of time, you will know. So, read the definition, then I will stop. Read the definition, then I will stop. So, it's very, you know, this is very good, you know, this is very interesting. Then you will, I think, learning about senses, you know, like I think it's quite good, you know, so kind of. Kana kona choji zumba yanga wajyo tobar choji sada milo rigba. Kana kona choji zumba yanga wajyo tobar sada milo rigba. So can you say?
The definition of a self-cognizing valid direct perceiver is a new incontrovertible cognizer that is free from conceptually, bears the aspect of an apprehender, and only looks inward.
Oh. Sounds so easy. So now we are going to break them and see.
So can you give me a definition of new?
New, same as first time.
Okay, but then what I thought you were saying is that because things are impermanent, there is no old. So I thought you were saying, like, when I look at the prayer wheel tomorrow, I'm also looking.
Yeah, so if somebody says, oh, I'm seeing the prayer wheel the second time, there's no, it's like from the impermanent point of view, that's mistaken, that's not correct.
So is then from this school's, because sometimes I get confused between the schools. So with this school's view of new and impermanent, I mean, then is
I
there
think
really
the definition is deep. Definition of impermanent through all the school is pretty much the same, doesn't change.
Okay. So then.
That's the one good thing. The definition of impermanent doesn't change. All this through school, the whole school doesn't change. That's good things, yeah.
Thank goodness, yeah.
That's thank goodness.
They have a permanent view of impermanence. Okay. So then, is there really old? So new is the very first time you see the prayer wheel, but we're also saying that there is no not new time.
Yeah, so that's like now leads to more little debate, you know, like say three times, you know, based on the Vipassika school, three times based on the Sautantrika school. Three times based on, then it's getting, you know, three times is kind of complicated object, you know, so people say present, past, but when you really precise the thing, it's quite difficult, you know.
But so in this school, valid really just means the first initial time. The initial time I saw the prayer wheel. That's all it means.
Understanding first time.
First time.
Yeah.
Is that simple for them, that very first time, or there is no first time because of impermanence?
Whenever we are seeing some even though it's disintegrating, whatever we are seeing is now seeing the first time.
Okay.
So not the second, the moment that's passed is not seeing, it already passed. Nobody can see. whatever seems like seeing brand new.
Okay. So then almost everything is new. There is no...
Yeah, so, you know, when you look at, when you think about impermanent point of view, that's very true. You can say, okay, oh, this person is here. It's not here. No, it's all changed.
I think that's why I get confused with the definitions, because they're dividing it between valid, being new, and ones without valid. This direct meaning that the new is not there. So anyway, I'll just keep thinking about it.
No. Knowing something new directly means no. Knowing something new indirectly means no. You like say, fire on the mountain. You are knowing first time, but you are not going to know the first time directly. You are going to know the first time through something. I say, make sense? Through something.
Yeah, but the definition is like valid direct perceiver or just direct perceiver. They're not talking about inferential. I mean, there's valid direct and valid inferential, but then there's also just direct perceiver without the valid.
Yeah. So then there is direct perceiver doesn't have to be valid. Direct perceiver can be invalid.
Oh, okay.
See, that's why. No, because you know, even just making the definition, this is very precise. No, direct perceiver doesn't have to be valid. That's invalid. So that's why, you know, to eliminate that, so then you have to have say, you have to add valid, eliminate that invalid. No, direct perceiver. Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm totally clear then what invalid means, because in the definition of a direct perceiver it says it has to be non-mistaken.
Non-mistaken doesn't mean invalid. Non-mistaken doesn't mean valid.
Mm-hmm.
Non-mistaken doesn't mean valid. This is all debate points, so you need to find this out. So I'm not going to help. Sorry, I'm not going to help. So, unmistaken doesn't mean valid. Valid means unmistaken. Unmistaken doesn't mean valid. Direct perceiver doesn't mean valid. Direct perceiver could be invalid. Please find that out. Not out of mean heart. So did
can you make it invalid if you're looking at it cross-eyed? It's direct, but you're seeing two, and there is no two.
So
that makes it directly invalid. It's true.
Probably debate, you'll find. I'll be I'll be extremely happy if you find, I will be extremely, extremely happy. If you don't find, I'm not going to be extremely, extremely disappointed. If you find, I'll be extremely happy. So that means, more you think, the better for mind, It's like, it's good to know.
Geshe-la, just a quick question. You've already given us the homework to debate, so I'm not going to go into it. But the question is, it depends.
Yeah, don't try to say something that you to me to say.
No, Geshe-la.
I am very good at that because I come from debate court. Yes.
Geshe-la, my confusion with valid and invalid comes from the hat you wear, because in mind it's Madhyamika way of thinking. So if you tell me something is valid, I'm already telling you it's not. Because even if I'm perceiving it directly and you're telling me this is a prayer wheel, in my mind, it all depends on the conception. If you've never seen prayer wheel before, then you're not going to label it as prayer wheel. You're going to just see a piece of wood that turns around. But if you know from studying classes, then you have a different conceptual vision of that. Right?
Yeah.
So invalid and valid depends on which school you come from, because to me, if it's impermanent, it does not exist from its own side.
That's very true. So you have to stick with the definition. That's like South Tantrika school. You can't just carry that to the Pasangika school. Then you'll be your heads go up, down, then it's just getting complicated. So that's the last systems. So there, we have, the definition of Valid is something different. Something different. So the, just here.
Okay.
Mm. So I'll say it again, invalid, the direct perceiver doesn't have to be valid, doesn't have to be invalid, it has both. Direct perceiver can be invalid, can be valid. Because of that, when they talk about, that's why they end up talking about direct, valid cognizer. Because direct doesn't mean valid, so that's why, you know. So then there's the question. So now, so maybe I'll save this definition for here's only going out. So definition of self-cognizer, next Friday.
I noticed that even like you said, you're studying this all the time in the monastery.
Mm.
You're living there, and this is what you do.
Mm.
So none of us live in monasteries, obviously.
Mm.
Can you please give a suggestion to both the amount of time and any kind of thoughts you have that would help in how we can study?
I think more debate here is, I think, good to know. So while I was gone, maybe 3 months, then I think it's like sometimes it's good to have debate, you know, debate. Just ask questions like that. Yeah, exactly like, you know, that you are doing here. Or why that's like, you know, valid? You know, if they only have direct perceiver, why this is valid? Yeah, so this is the question that you ask. Then, you know, they say, then somebody will say, oh, maybe a direct perceiver doesn't mean it's valid. So then somebody has to find out, was there something that's direct perceiver is not valid? So that's how the debate has been done. And more debate, you know. So even like, say, okay, we already debated this, you know, yesterday. You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, you can debate again and again.
So, but before we can debate, do you suggest that we, I hate to say this word, but memorize all of these definitions
so you know
what you're debating? You have to know what you're talking about first.
No, no. Here are the good things. You don't have to memorize because you are allowed to bring the books, you know. Monastery, that we have no choice. We are just rules. No, we are not allowed to bring the textbook in the classroom on the debate. So you know, so you have to, you know, not necessarily every month they memorize like this. Not like, because you go to class every single day, you hear this again, and you just remember them, you know, by heart, because you hear them again. You know, self-cognizer, you hear this like probably 1,000 times, and you know, you just know. Yeah, then you know, we do memorize materials, not like when we are studying, not there. So when we go a little bit higher, like this is like this is probably, yeah, you are about now when you are studying this material, you are just starting to memorize material. Before that, the 3 class, first grade, second grade, there no memorization, you just debate. So then here you start to memorize materials because now it's getting more and more complicated. So here, you know, read, I think same subject, read, and more debate. I think this is very good. More debate will definitely help. You know, just make the question like exact like now Steve did, no, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Just rest. It doesn't make sense when they're talking about definition of, you know, like direct, valid, perceiver, why they say new, you know, so things like that, then it opens up, you know, so it's very good, more debate. Okay? Yeah. So then memorizing material, I think it's going to be very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Practically, it's not going to be easy, you know. So like, there, you know, so you are used to memorizing. Here, I'm not sure, like, are people used to memorizing
not
things?
Not really.
So then that, even that makes more difficult, you know. So there, you know, it's just part of the education system. That's what you memorize, you know.
Yes. Mm?
So here, then I think spending a lot of time memorizing materials, not knowing what you're memorizing. So then after that, a lot of energy is spent in there. So it's much better to bring the book and read, you know. So then read any question, you know, why does Derek shouldn't be there, you know, why little things like that. Then, you know, there's reason. Because they are eliminating something, you know. So that means like Derek doesn't mean it's valid. That's why when they talk about direct, valid perceiver, then there's different direct perceiver. You know, it is direct valid perceiver is direct perceiver, but doesn't mean direct perceiver means all the direct perceiver is direct valid cognizer. There's reason, you know, so like that. Okay, make sense?
Mm. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, everybody's doing great. So not really doing great, you know. So. So then the definition of self-knower next Friday. So when you just read, it kind of looks, sounds complicated. Then we are going to, we are going to break it down. Then I will explain word by word. So then it will make sense. You know.
Keshla, is there anything that we should discuss and think about this week besides the main question of what's a direct perceiver but not a valid direct perceiver? Anything else from today's?
Yeah, so make sure that everybody remembers, you know, like how to define self.
Mm-hmm.
Not just one. Make sure they remember by heart, true truth. This is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
True truth, how to define self. This is very important. So then next time, you now know for true truth. You know true truth based on Vipassika school. You know true truth based on South Antica school. You know true truth based on Mind-Only school. You know true truth based on like Middleway school. So then this is very good, you know. Then Bashir. So these are more important. So then you know, have some debate about this other subject, you know, self, object possessor, object possessor. Then a little bit about this self-knower. I think that's pretty much it. So then when the Venerable George comes, so you can ask him to sit in the middle. So you can all sit there, so then ask him questions. You know? So then see. So in order to debate with him, you have to remember, because he's from MIT. So then I think that's how debate has been done. One person sit in the middle, so then all the rest people sit on the side, one person stand up and ask, what is the definition? That's how you start. Di means you're calling the Manjushris, no? Because Manjushris is the wisdoms. No? Chetar means spread the Dharma, that's what I'm saying. Di omarapasana di, that's the mantra. Di, like power of this mantra, Dharma should be spread, no? So then here, this is like samsara. That's what you're visualizing, you know. It's not just the local people think that we are practicing kung fu, but no idea. They have no idea. So this is samsara. So then you go like this. All the beings from samsara liberate them. And this is like that's how you begin debate. Then you ask, what is the definition of direct valid perceiver? Then they say, chair means come on. Chair, then everybody goes, chair, then everybody know like, it's a big debate, the chair, that means, how you say? Yeah. chair, then that's how you say chair. So they will not, even the person knows they're not going to help you, just to let you figure it out. So if you say something wrong, so then all debate start, you know, so then you go, then all kind of deadness happens, you know, like that. Cha means wrong, wrong, called cha means you're wrong. Pe cha da ga, pe means, pe cha means, materials. Ga means you are against the materials. Pe cha da ga, not easy, easy to say pe cha da ga. You have to remember, you have to say, how you are wrong, how you are against the material, then you have to say, okay, like that, something like that, you know, so then not just you, everybody remembers, you know. Then you have to quote the stanza from the text. You know? So then the person listens, and then the person will say, okay, then the person will let it go. He's like, how is the commitment? Not commitment, assertions. So then, that means like you are wrong from the root. So that's the big one, you know. But just first, you know, you are wrong here, wrong here. So then when they say, go against the materials, that means no, that's, then they quote it, then you know. So then after that you say yes, then they say, you are wrong from the root. So then that's one debate done. So then you start all over again. Then you have to be careful what you say, how you say, you know. So sometimes people, they hold on their assertions. They use all kind of logic, you know, to defend them. Or you quote something, or they interpret it different way. They interpret it. No, so it doesn't mean like that. It means something like that. Sometimes you can get away with that. Then, you know, if they quote another materials, they clearly prove that you are interpreting wrong. Then you're stuck. You can, they're now, you're on the corner. They already put you in the corner. There's no more space to move around. Then you have to surrender. So maybe next time say like, you know, it's kind of hard and people are working all day long, coming to class and after the, you know, debate. So maybe someday when I was gone, maybe just begin the class with debate, you know. So not class, just begin the debate. So, and also, you know, you can make some tea, you know. So like, so, you know, just drink tea, then debate. It doesn't have to be tense, you know.
The week after you go, Geshe-la, we still have another class, and that's going to be the focus of that class, is reviewing the material and discussing it to try and understand it more deeply. So we will continue with that,
Geshe-la. Yeah, so make some, that's how, you know, like, Thamja, so, because the monastery, you know, like, now, every day is kind of, sometimes kind of hard, you know, because the food is not that great, you know, so then I feel bad, but, you know, so the abbot is in the monastery, the abbot lives on the upstairs monastery. The monks, people don't go to bed very early, you know, in the monastery, like midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, they know. So then yes, we have to stay there. When you are studying Madhyamika school, Madhyamika materials, you have to stay there whole night long, whole night, you know, every day, whole night. You know. So then, you know, like, we wear flip-flop. So sometimes, you know, I feel bad because we just chat, you know. So then when you debate, if you don't hear that, that means everybody sleeping or they are not there, you know. So then what do the one monk, you know, just hold the flip-flop and then on the floor, bang! They just talk like that was it. Because like, especially when it's like around 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning. No good. So that's not how you enlighten. Oh yeah.
Want to get the answer?
We were just saying that. Dion says, "Well, this definitely won't be on the test because it's going to be on the ultimate."
I mean, really. So we'll be dedicating together. I'm going to ask Venerable Chuki to lead that in just a moment. Before we do, I just wanted to also offer some additional perspective on the issue of the microphones being passed. there are two perspectives I'd like to offer. One would be that if it were an easy solution, we would have done it by now. So you need to trust that we're very aware of the how complicated it is to feel you have to pass the mic around, but that there are a lot of technical things that I'm not going to go into explaining it all, but that play into why we can't just find an easy solution. So keep that in mind. The other is the if you've ever done the Myers-Briggs tests, you know there are two types of personalities. There's the people who want to process orally, and those are the people who want to jump in and say something really quick. And then there's the people who like to process inside. So while for the people who like to jump in and say something quickly, it's kind of, you know, frustrating to have to wait for the mic. But for the people who like to process, it's really helpful to have that moment to think about what was the question and what would I think the answer is. And what did that person just say, and does that make sense to me? So if we think about where that actually may be helping other people in the class who need that little bit of extra time to think, as well as thinking about the fact that that recording is super important to anybody who misses the class. So when you miss a class and you want to keep up with the conversation, if the people are not using the mic, it's very hard to follow. So turning that thought, you know, self-centered mind of, I don't want to use the mic. I'm not naming names because there's more than one person expressing this very verbally, both in the class and to me. Turning that to a mind of compassion and using this as a practice of how can I use this mic to be beneficial to everyone else. So I just ask you to consider those things as we deal with the situation. If there is a better solution, we'll try and implement it. It is being looked at, but it's not going to happen next week or right off because it's more complicated than it seems. Thank you. And now our dedication.
All right, without Shanka here to override me, we're doing something different this time. If you look on the back of the first base sheet, we'll do these first two stanzas in the dedication prayers. No, on the back of the base sheet. Due to the merits of these virtuous actions, may I quickly attain the state of a Guru Buddha and lead all living beings without exception into that enlightened state. May the supreme jewel bodhicitta that has not arisen arise and grow, and may all that which has arisen not diminish but increase more and more.
Thank you, everybody. Good night. Oh, yeah, tomorrow morning. I have to say, the meditations we found are really practical and really helpful in understanding the views of the Vibhasika and Svatantrika schools. So if you can come tomorrow morning, I think you'll really get a lot out of it. So we hope we'll see you at 9:30 tomorrow morning. And earlier for those of you who signed up for the water bowls and so forth.